Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Welcome to Skies Revival Radio again. This is Tom from the Sky Family. We're going to be talking about money today, and I'll guarantee that what we're going to talk about today, you have never heard at any money seminar at your church or read about in any popular book about finances. It's going to be very eye-opening for you today. We've been taking a close look at the Gospel of Matthew. We're finding that the teaching of Jesus is very contrary to the things that we have taken for granted, even the things that we want to believe. But it is so profitable for our souls to examine Jesus' words. These are the words that really count. We're going to go over to chapter 13, where we're going to read the parable of the soils. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell upon rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Jesus then gives an explanation of the parable, starting on verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, but the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now we're going to zero in on the seed that fell among the thorns. That is the man who hears the word, but the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now the seed among the thorns is the big soil of the Western world. We're all in it. The world has a value system, and the world values success, and success has become a primary god in our society. It doesn't even matter what area the success is in. It can be success in business, success in the arts, in music, or sports. We esteem success so highly that we are willing to sacrifice our own children to obtain it. Record companies and those in the film industry sacrifice their own children in the pursuit of monetary success. They don't care if they contaminate their children or if they lead them to hell. As long as they're making good money, that's the criteria. If it sells, it's good. If it doesn't sell, it's bad. And that's what we use as a benchmark to mark whether something is good or bad. If you are successful, you're good. If you are unsuccessful, you're scorned. This is the model we see as the basis of our TV and movie scripts. So we're inundated with a powerful call to abandon the truth to follow a lie. And what is the truth? That we have to become nobodies for Christ. That's a hard word, isn't it? That's not very palatable to our Western taste. And that's why it's so important to keep going back to the word. He says things we really don't want to hear. He says we need to become lowly. We need to allow our rights to be trampled. Remember, Jesus said, he who would be the greatest would be the slave of all. Paul said he and the other apostles were as the scum of the earth. But we have abandoned that because we all want to be liked and respected, and that comes with the package of success. And it's so pervasive in the West that we have, of course, incorporated it into the church. So now, if you are successful in the world, it is a sign of being approved by God. For the church, the main goal is money in the bank. If you have it, it shows you are approved by God and you are honored and thought well of. If you are not wealthy or pursuing wealth, you are thought less of, much less of. But it's okay as long as you are pursuing wealth. If you're pursuing worldly riches, you're okay. That's still approved because you're going in the right direction. Then you'll be helped along by the successful and the recognized. This pervades the Western church. Now we have license to have all the things in the world and call it God's blessing. And to be achieving everything of the world and to say it's good. So we lap up all the teaching about how to have success in the world. And now we have awesome excuses and justification to pursue all the things that we naturally want anyway. But we've taken it to a new level. In the modern church, anything goes under the heading of being a good steward. We can seek after all the things of the world and justify it as being prudent. We can be obsessed with maintaining all of our material possessions and call it prudent. This is very common today. Now, if you are a responsible Christian man, you not only have to acquire wealth for yourself and your family, you have to acquire long-term wealth. You have to have wealth for your children and your children's children. And it's presented that this is the way of responsible men and the righteous. So it's a way that seems right to us and good. But there is a problem with it. That is, it's contrary to the teaching of Jesus, who said, "Don't store up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up treasure in heaven." And so it's a snare, and acquiring earthly wealth is full of fleshly desires and pride and worldliness and compromise. The deceitfulness of riches is what chokes out the seed of the word so that it bears no fruit. And you might get mad at me for saying that, but I didn't say it. I just read it. Jesus said it. So it's important for us to take time and to pause and to think about it. Now, that's not to say there aren't any godly men that are wealthy, but there are really very few. Jesus said, the way to heaven is practically impossible for the rich. And there may be a few who are so dead to self and so unaffected by wealth that God is able to use them with money. But it's very few, and God mainly provides finances for his workers, not through the wealthy, but through the poor. It is often the poor that are the most generous. If you pursue the success of the world, you'll find that the fruit of God is choked out. We devote ourselves to these things. We are immersed in them. They take all of our thought and energy and time, and the things of God are neglected. Notice that Jesus says the deceitfulness of riches. He says deceitfulness because riches are a lie. They promise to make you so happy, but they don't. If you approach the wealthiest people, you'll find they are not happy at all. In fact, they're very miserable because there's so many other things that will go wrong that will distress them. So money does not produce any form of happiness. Jesus again said, even in having abundance, life does not consist in these things. No satisfaction comes from wealth. It's not there. So what does God value? God values righteousness. Men idolize the wealthy and the successful, but God doesn't even see them. They are to him what they already will be, a ghost. Instead, he sees the poor who have a heart for him, who are seeking him, who are up in the morning, who are praying for their neighbors. God sees them and honors them. They have nothing at all. Sometimes they don't even have their daily bread. and they're scorned by the world, and they're scorned by the church. They're thought even less of if they are church members instead of objects of outreach. But God has made them the apple of his eye. Those who are greatly beloved of God often have nothing whatever that the world esteems. So we're confronted with living in a society which honors the things which God hates and despises the things that God loves. And since we're not getting out of the world anytime soon, we have to come to grips with how we're going to deal with the constant barrage. It's not going to stop. If you decide to follow the Lord with all your heart, you're going to be challenged on it next year and the year after and many times after that. That's why Jesus set his face like flint for Jerusalem, and we have to do the same. Determine we're following Jesus, and that's final. As soon as you start neglecting the word of God, the arguments for worldly wealth start to sound so plausible and reasonable, and we begin to doubt ourselves. And that's why our time in the word and with Jesus is so important. It's the only way you're going to survive the opposition. The opposition won't say, walk away from God. It will say, it's time to become more mature, more prudent. Think about your future. If you don't take care of your future, who's going to? And I answer that by saying, God will take care of your future. So you have to keep the word of God before you to stay course corrected. Every day on the sea, you have to check your drift and your wind speed to correct your course. For us, the word is our compass. As soon as it is neglected, we drift. Just like a ship, there's current and wind. So we can be heading for a distant point, but we can be drifting and getting way off course. And we're always drifting every day, just like a ship on the sea, always drifting. So we have to pull the Bible out, and it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's a course corrector. That is a sure compass. And there's such intense pressure to drift, you can't be casual about consulting your logbook. The world and worldly-minded Christians do not share your convictions, and they will actually hate your convictions and take it as a personal affront, and they will feel convicted, and so they'll be angry with you. This work that we're doing with the Bible school and with our revival ministry and turning people back to the gospel is very exciting, and it is mightily opposed because we're really about preparing the soil so that it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold in your life. Make no mistake about it, you will become a target of hell because you will be doing what Jesus said, not just talking about it. We're actually trying to remove the thorns and the rocks from our lives to bear fruit for the kingdom. Going in this direction makes you a threat to hell, so expect it to be hard. Also, work hard to get the thorns out of your heart. And what are the thorns? The desire to be recognized by men, to be honored by men, to have success in the world, achieving that goal, having that desire for the things of the world and the pleasures of life. These are the thorns. And don't forget, he says the anxieties as well. And as you get involved with these pursuits, your worries will be multiplied. You're not happier for going in this direction. You're just more full of anxiety. And that's why it's very important to weed these things out. Be on guard. There are many people who have made great strides and they have put all sorts of bad things out of their lives. They have experienced real closeness with Jesus and they're thriving in God, but then they forget to weed. They begin to neglect reading the word and spending time with Jesus, and the things of the world begin to seem very important. They begin to be choked. Some devil-inspired thought will take root and they don't weed it out, and then little by little it takes over. And in a couple of years, they're back where they started. Their life in Christ is choked out. If you don't care about bearing fruit, live any way you want. You have the freedom to do whatever you want. But if you want to bear fruit, you must be diligent. For those who persist seeking God with all their heart, what happens to them? Well, we read about them. They are the subject of books. God will write a book for each one who clears the rocks and the weeds from their soil. There will be a record of the wonderful thing God has done with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you today to repent, to ask your forgiveness for being caught up in the things of the world, the pursuits of the world, to the neglect of the things of God. Lord, we want to be good seed that goes into good soil, that bears fruit. And Lord, please cut off the distractions of the world that prevent us from bearing fruit. Help us not to be absorbed in all of our worldly pastimes and desires, but help us to desire and seek first the kingdom of God, that we might grow in love with Jesus. Thank you for your word to us in Matthew. In Jesus' name, amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.
Before a place she could call her home, helping like